Starting your own private medical practice can be the most exciting and rewarding thing you'll ever do in your career, but at the same time, it can be so daunting. Where do you start and how? That's why Gentem Health put together the podcast series, Journey to Private Practice, where we document and interview entrepreneurs, clinicians, investors, and the best in the industry to bring you actionable insights as how to start, grow, and scale your private practice. With insights tailored just for you, and actionable links in the notes, this is the Journey to Private Practice. Hey, podcast listeners, this is Omar Khatib of Gentem Health with another great episode of Journey to Private Practice. And this time we have Miranda Palmer, who is a licensed mental health therapist, but also an entrepreneur who started a company called Zynnyme, spelled Z-Y-N-N-Y-M-E. You can check them out at zynnyme.com. And they're on a mission to help mental health professionals, because mental health professionals are actually the worst paid master's degrees. And yet, mental health is such a critical part of every health community relationship in person. Myself included, I've benefited greatly from the help of wonderful mental health therapists throughout my life who've helped me and my family through very difficult times. And yet they struggle so much when it comes to the business. And Miranda saw this and focused on being a private practice expert and helping all these mental health therapists start and run viable, successful businesses. So in this wonderful episode, we talk about what it's like to start a private practice as a mental health therapist. You'll get some amazing actionable insights and ideas from her. And I also want to remind you that this episode is brought to you by Gentem Health. If you are in private practice, we'd love to help you out with streamlining your revenue cycle, improving your medical billing, and more importantly, maximizing how much you're reimbursed. If you're interested to learn more about us and even get a billing analysis to see how your practice is doing, maybe you're leaking revenue where you might not know, head over to gentem.com/podcast demo. Submit your information today. And now let's get on to the show. Hey everyone, Omar M. Khatib, your host of Journey to Private Practice with a special guest today. So this guest has a very interesting story and more importantly, a lot of valuable insight and wisdom to share with us. And that is Miranda Palmer, who was formerly a therapist, but now is a private practice expert helping thousands of therapists find a way to make a profitable practice. Miranda, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm just delighted. I think I know there are so many therapists that are out there who are desperately needed by our communities, and they are really trying to figure out how to make private practice viable, how they can do what they really love and make sure that they can sustain in this work. So podcasts like this that help educate them and give them resources can make all the difference in us making mental health and healthcare in general more accessible to the people that really need it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's such an important thing. You know, one of our, delightful customers, and I guess you can say a growing influencer, is Tracy Pannunery and her practice, Mountain View Family Therapy. She really educated me about this stigma, unfortunately, in the mental health world where, you know, if you do anything that involves entrepreneurship and growing a profitable business, it's looked at as taboo, right? Yeah. And at least the way we see it is, you know, if you are your own business owner, you get to decide how you get to practice medicine and therapy. And more importantly, if you have a thriving business, you get to help more people in the community.
Yeah. And it's an interesting place. There's some systemic pieces that are set up through the process of educating therapists in particular, but this also, honestly, this happens in many different professions in the healthcare, medical included, where there is this very, this whole process of like, let's make sure and get educated, and then you're going to go and volunteer for free, then you're going to work for cheap, all while you are amassing huge amounts of student loans in most cases. So you have these people who are going through this process where most of the time they can't actually like sustain even like what they're doing while they're in school, and they're amassing all this debt, and then they come out indebted. And then when they look and go, oh, wait, I have a lot of debt. I can't really like live on the income that someone now I'm still getting poverty wages, therapy, social work, art therapy, licensed professional counselors. These are always in like the top 10 of worst paid master's degrees out there. But again, sometimes coming out with six figures of debt, and now you're going out and being offered positions for $30,000 or $40,000 or $50,000 in Los Angeles, California, with one of the highest costs of living. And the math just doesn't add up. And it leaves therapists feeling guilty sometimes about wanting to be like, they feel guilty about their debt and that they're not paying it down. And then they feel guilty if they want more income. And then here's like the other piece that I'm sorry to go on like a little soapbox about this, but
no, that's exactly what this episode is for. that's why we have this podcast. This podcast is a soapbox for influencers like you.
This is the other piece of it, is that the way that we have this set up makes this profession less accessible to the diversity of like what is needed. So for a lot of people that come into the profession, they figure out, oh, wait, if the people who are able to like go through this whole process and actually get to successful, you know, private practice, many of them have a spouse that's actually footing the bill. They have parents that paid for their education. They had a trust fund set up. They had all these other pieces, and they're looking going like, how do I do this if I'm not someone who somebody paid for my education, that I'm coming from a lower, you know, social economic status, and I'm trying to get to this place so I can support my family, but everything is against me. And then when I come out the other side and actually say, you know what, I need to make sure that I'm financially healthy, then you get poo-pooed. Well, you know, you need to put your time in. You need to put your time in. You've spent 10 years already, like getting an undergraduate, getting a graduate degree, going through and gathering thousands of hours in most states. And now someone's saying, well, no, now you also still have to charge a fee in private practice that often leads to, I've talked to multiple therapists that we did the math, they could have made more money working at Starbucks or Hooters.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. That's unbelievable. So there's a lot to dive in here and unpack. Before we do though, I want to make sure we covered, but you know, for those of our audience that are just getting introduced to you, like what's your story? I know that you're a therapist now, you have this great company called Zinimi. Tell us that path. What does that look like? And then we're going to sort of unpack everything that you just shared right now, because I know that our listeners are really going to be interested in that.
So I was one of those people that came from this where I was working full time and going to school full time. I didn't go to the fancy private school to get my education or to become a therapist because I couldn't possibly afford it. And that was even honestly with having help from like a friend of the family, basically, who helped pay for my education, my $11 a unit at the junior college, the very, very inexpensive education that I got, that again was judged by a lot of people as I went through the process. But I went through that process of going, working for nonprofits, making $15 an hour as I was trying to get my hours and trying to get licensed. And I had this really interesting thing happen that was kind of like mortifying at the time, which was that there were two exams that you had to take in my state in California. And the second exam, I failed it by 1 point. And it was sort of like, oh my gosh, like that's what I needed to get the raise at work. That's what I needed to have opportunities so that I could pay off the student loans that I'd still gotten some just to, because I couldn't work all the time, you know, all these different pieces. But it was such an interesting experience because I started looking around for other people to say like, hey, can anyone, like, is anyone else studying? And all the people I'd gone to school with were still gathering hours. So they weren't there yet. And the people that had passed were like, I don't even know what just happened. Like, I can't help you. And so I started an online study group and started finding other people that were feeling really lost in the process from graduate school to licensure. And we started studying together. And then 3 months later, basically got a letter in the mail saying, oh, actually, there's something wrong with the exam. You actually passed. And I was just blown away because I had actually written them a letter saying there was like all these issues with the exam. Like there were typos and like questions that didn't make any sense. Like, is this really? Like, are you sure? And they were like, nope, this is really like for real, for real. Like there's nothing wrong with the exam. And then 3 months later, they're like, oh, actually there was something wrong with the exam. And I sat like really, I sat with that. And it was such a great experience to like have all these realizations. One, that from the day that I quote unquote failed the exam to the day that they sent me the letter, like what had changed for me clinically? Like not anything, right? So like that idea of like exams are important, but they really are a hoop and they are not indicative of like what's happening with you and doing your clinical work and whether you're getting great outcomes with your clients. That's something you have to internally be focused on. It's not anything else that an exam can take care of. The second part was that I just found this like community so enthralling and realizing like it's not just that we're stuck on exams. We were confused on so many things about gathering the hours, how to calculate them, filling out the paperwork. Like there's a lot that happens between grad school and successful practice. And so I kept that group going. And when I actually started private practice, and I did it during the recession, and I was successful, and it was a private pay practice, I wasn't taking insurance, partially because I actually couldn't get on panels because I hadn't been licensed for 2 years. I got more and more people reaching out saying, hey, can you help me? How did you do this? What's going on? Can you consult with me? And so it just started to snowball over time that I literally didn't have like enough bandwidth to do that for free and had to start charging for it. And then at a certain point for my family, for my former spouse, they needed to move for their job and they needed to move to a state where I wasn't licensed. And so I already had this ZinniMe that was going on that was a side project that was really successful. And so I moved that up to full time because I didn't want to start a private practice in another state that I wasn't sure how long I would be there. And I'm a trauma therapist. I generally work with people long term. It didn't feel fair to my potential clients. So it was always about looking at what is in the best interest of my clients? Like, what does that look like? And by the time ZinniMe kind of moved into something full time, then it became, when I did move back to California, well, what really makes sense for my family? And do I have enough time to do this thing that is this giant thing that is ZinniMe and also be there for my son and also do a private practice? And I did it. So I've been doing private practice consulting exclusively for about 7 years. I love it. And it's been kind of magical to see how my therapy skills are still being used just in a very different way, digging into all of the negative cognitions and all of the stuck places and all the systemic issues that keep therapists stuck in these cycles that just don't work.
That's fantastic. And that's amazing. And I can only imagine what it was like juggling all those things. And so that's great that, because again, I think, you know, we see this across the board in healthcare and medicine, that whether it's in therapy or nursing school or physician, there's no courses on the business of medicine. Right. Nobody teaches you that, not even in residency. They don't even teach you when you graduate. Mm-mm. How to look at your contracts. I have friends who are graduating residency and they're like, hey, I'm going to get a job at this hospital. Can you help me look at this contract? I'm like, didn't somebody in your training program, did you guys have, they're like, no. And so nobody knows. Yeah. So there are very few ZinniMes out there. And so I'm glad that you guys do exist. And especially in the mental health world, I'll kind of take a stand on something, which was, you know, coming out of the pandemic, you know, there were so many small businesses that were absolutely ravaged, a lot of issues, you know, with people staying at home. You know, fortunately for me, I have a great wife, but not everybody has a great spouse or a great family and they need to be away from them. And so I'm seeing a lot of funding from the government for all these kind of things. And I don't see a whole lot going into mental health. And I think that's like going to be like, you know, right after the virus, like the biggest thing that's, you know, going to have a negative impact on people.
It's huge.
So I think this is a great time.
It's huge. Yeah. And, you know, I think the other part, so this is, so there's a couple things we have going on. We have pandemic, and often there is a little bit of a spike and a recession that happens post-pandemics, right? And we had some indicators even pre-pandemic that were kind of like set up a little bit for a recession, that like we're kind of in that cycle. That's a normal cycle. And for any therapists that are scared of being in business or starting a business during a recession cycle, because it's going to happen at some point in your business lifetime, don't be. This is actually one of the best places to be during a recession, is actually a therapist working in mental health, because the need goes up and not down, which I know like blows people's minds. They're like, but they can't afford it. People will budget
for it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes complete sense. Yeah. And I think if it's something that it's a need, like when it's a need, people will find the money.
They,
you know,
when I was in private practice during the recession before, I remember this, and this happened in multiple ways, but this one particular couple, they were both unemployed. And they were living with their parents, and they came to me for couples therapy. And when they told me what was going on, I said, let me refer you to some place that has a sliding scale. Let me refer you that somebody who does this or that or what have you. And they were so clear. They said, look, we have gone to other places. We see what you do. The way that you talk about couples therapy is so important. This is something we're living with parents. This is important to us. Our relationship is the core of everything right now. And it is worth us budgeting this for our relationship, because it's going to be so much more expensive to go out and get divorced and figure out our stuff on our own. And it's a true statement. I think it's so powerful. A lot of times people don't realize that piece of when people do divorce, when relationships don't work out, and nothing wrong with that, like things happen. But if we can't save them, you are taking the same amount of income, and no matter how you slice it, and you're putting it into two totally separate households with double the expenses, right? Like no matter how you do the math, you have now two rents and two what have you, and two of this and two of that that you didn't have before. And it usually ends with people not having the same kind of lifestyle and a lot of stress. So if we can, you know, help people through relationship crises, if we can help people manage their anxiety so that they can be viable at work, so they don't lose their job, or so they can work successfully, all of these different places, like these anxiety, depression, PTSD, these things can keep us from working. They can keep people from being successful. And people want to be successful. They want to feel good about their lives. They want to feel good at home. They want to feel good in relationship. They want to feel good in their community. So, and we can help them figure that out. We can help them find what really works for them. We can give them the skills that they need to feel connected and successful, and to realize like nothing is perfect, but like they can have a good life and they're deserving of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a good segue to go from the patient side to the provider side. But, you know, for those who are trying to get into private practice and at least have, more importantly, not just a private practice, but a profitable one, I know that Zenimi, and I'll leave links in the show notes. You guys provide fantastic, not only consulting, but I know you have courses, you have a podcast. It's a really fantastic website. But, you know, for what we can pack into this podcast, what are some key elements about having a profitable practice?
Yeah.
Like what are the most common things that you feel like people get wrong, that if they just got it right, it just increases their chances of profitability so much more?
Number one thing is you have to set your fee appropriately from the beginning. You have to understand how to set your fee, what goes into that fee, and what that fee really means for your profit, what actually goes home in your pocket. So for a lot of therapists, they come out of a system where maybe they're making $15 an hour or $30 an hour or $40 an hour, like whatever that is, and they're working 40 hours a week. And they move into private practice and somebody says, like, how much are you going to charge? And you're like, well, I mean, if I charge $100 an hour, I would be making so much money. Like, I would be in such a great, successful financial position, not knowing that that $100 an hour might actually end up with them putting less money in their pocket than they were doing when they were getting $30 or $40 an hour. And it can be very confusing and very overwhelming to start to look at what are the actual expenses in private practice. And this goes mm-hmm. beyond just like rent and phone and, you know, marketing your website, that kind of stuff. Those things are important. But this also goes into the other pieces, like making sure that you're calculating in your ability to take a vacation or to say take a sick day, making sure that you're calculating in the idea that like you may be taking trainings, that you're calculating mm-hmm. in all the time doing all the activities that used to get done by other people at the agency or business or nonprofit that you worked at. So that maybe 15 or 20 hours that you're spending in front of clients comes with 6 hours a week being the receptionist and 2 hours a week being the bookkeeper and an hour a week working on the website and 3 hours a week doing quality assurance, making sure that your documentation is done, and an hour a week cleaning your office. And, you know, it just adds up like over and over, you know, an hour a week managing records requests and going in and finding those old records, making copies and putting them in the mail, going to the post office, all of these different things that you have to create time for and space for. Your client isn't paying for that hour that you're with them. They're paying for everything that it takes for you to be fully present in that hour with them, right? So if you are spending 30 hours a week with clients, I know you're probably working 55 hours a week. And how many people can work 55 hours a week every week for the rest of their life and feel great when they sit down in front of someone who is just giving them all of their like hurt and trauma and anxiety and stress? Like,
that's a very good point.
You can't.
I don't care. It's hard.
Yeah.
Like it's, and I feel like, especially in therapy, because it's not to take away from any other profession in the medical business, but you, I feel like so much of it is based on intent, attention, energy, like all these things have an effect.
Yeah.
And even me, I mean, I'm not shy about it, but you know, I've been in the past, you know, to different therapists, and there are days where I can tell like it's not a good day for my therapist, and it ends up not being a good session for me.
Yeah.
You know, and fortunately, like I, you know, at the time I didn't have anything severe, but for the people who are suffering extreme trauma, like that's not easy. You know?
I think it's not easy for anyone. I mean, that's the other part too, is that a lot of therapists, when they do figure out like what fee they really need to charge in order to like create what they want, they start to get anxiety about like, oh my gosh, this is so expensive. This isn't accessible for clients anymore. Like I can't possibly charge that much. And yet it's just we have to start looking at money as like, money is just a resource. And it's a resource that allows us to show up in the way that we want to show up. And there are people who are offering therapy and counseling sessions for $5 a session. So there's no way to like make it cheap enough that like someone's going to choose you because of that. And
yeah,
like at the end of the day, $5 is too much to pay for bad therapy. To go in for 50 minutes and waste your time for someone who's not present for something that doesn't work, it's too much. Even if it's free, even if it's a copay, it's yeah. not worth it.
You can
it.
Get money back.
No.
You can get money back. You can't get your time back.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, you're absolutely correct.
And here's the part too that I think is so important, is that when somebody goes to therapy, especially for the first time, if they don't know what therapy is supposed to look like, they don't know what therapy is supposed to feel like, right? Like maybe they saw something on the TV where someone's like laying down on a couch. Maybe they saw, like, I think Grey's Anatomy actually has some good therapeutic moments where I was like, oh, that's good therapy. But 90% of what people see on TV is terrible therapy, or people having sex with their therapist. And it's like, why must the writers do this every time? It makes me crazy. But they don't know what therapy is supposed to look like. And they go in, they finally average years that they waited before they went in to see someone. And they have a bad experience and they go, therapy doesn't work. They don't know that therapist sucked. That's not normal. Your therapist shouldn't show up on a virtual meeting with their shirt off, sweaty outside. Like, that's not normal. They don't know.
Has that happened?
Yes. This happened to my friend. Yeah. And I'm like, you need to that's fire amazing. Your therapist.
Amazingly bad.
It's amazingly bad. And I give you 10 other examples from this particular therapist. Yeah. And my friend is still going. They're like, well, he's a nice guy. Bless your heart.
You know, and I think, Miranda, you point out something that's really interesting. And I think that, you know, and I learned this from the therapy world, but like, you know, reframing is a really powerful thing. And I think when you reframe just the thing around fees, right, where if you don't structure your fee the right way as a therapist, you are going to be spreading yourself thin. You're going to be adding more stress on top of yourself, and you're going to increase the risk that you're going to show up and be one of those lousy therapists. Yeah. And your patient says, not only does therapy, you know, this therapist doesn't work for me, therapy overall does not work. And then they don't get helped at all.
Yeah.
And then they go years getting worse.
Yeah. And this is the other thing that is so interesting is then therapists are saying like, I can't possibly charge this much because I need to make therapy accessible. Right. So I can't charge $150, right? Whatever. And then they look at coaches who usually do not have the same level of training, expertise,
like a life coach,
like right? a life coach or a success, a relationship,
$150, $200.
Yeah. Sometimes $500 an hour, like whatever that is. Yeah. And this other person, they don't have often the training. Sometimes they do, but often they don't have the training. They don't have the education. They don't have privilege, meaning that if somebody came in, they could take what you said in that coaching session and bring it into the court of law, which is not something that generally happens in psychotherapy. Like we have protections in place because this is considered medical and private and all that kind of stuff. So all of that, and they go, well, how come they get to charge that much? You know what? There are therapists right now who are well-trained and well-meaning and awesome who are giving up the profession to go to coaching, not because they think coaching is more effective, not because they want to go in that direction, which is totally valid, but because they think that's the only way they can get paid. And it's a lie.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I think life coaching has its place. I think it's good. I had a coach for a while, but you know, I remember sometimes I would feel like, I was like, you know, that'd be a great blend of the two things. Like if therapy, because it's much easier, I think, for therapists to go get a life coaching certification versus the other way around.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think it's one of those things where there's all this, I think when it comes to these things, there's so many mental barriers that a therapist has in their head that they put in front of them that are actually non-existent. They're literally imaginary. Mm-hmm. And it's just as simple as, you know, like, okay, so let's dive more into that. So setting up the fees is the most important thing. So where do they start to figure that out? So I'm a therapist. I just opened practice this week, got my website, I got everything set up.
Yeah.
So I schedule my first patient for next Monday. What do I do?
You're going to, well, you need it before you schedule your patient. You need to know what your fee is because they need to know what's going on. So please. And I would even say this is your first step. Even before you build the website, any of the other stuff, like this is your very first step is figuring out your fee. You need to reverse engineer this fee, right? So we start with how much money do I need in my pocket for me to like live life, for like this to be a good life, for me to feel like I'm not living paycheck to paycheck. I can pay down some of my debt. I'm not going to
Your monthly budget.
Yeah. But I would even look at it from an annual.
Plus some.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your monthly budget plus some, looking at the big picture, like annually, what is the salary that you would need to make this really viable, right? So that's the first step. Then you're going to add to that, what are the expenses that I have in running my business? And this is all the expenses. So you're looking at, if you, let's say you had a retirement before and you want to do something here, like you gave up your retirement, even at the nonprofit, to come to your own business. So maybe you're putting a little bit to retirement. You're making sure you have a buffer for the things you need for your business, laptop, webcam, your microphones, you know, all the different things you need, your office space, replacing your furniture so that it's clean, having a cleaner come in. Like some of these therapists, like they can't afford to go and get a new couch on Craigslist, and their couch is not okay, like for people to be sitting on, like it's gross. Like all the different things that you need to like run your business. And then you're also going to add on, because a lot of therapists think of money in the pocket, but they forget about taxes. So you're also going to add in the taxes that you have. And that's going to include your self-employment taxes if you're here in the United States, and UK has their own process as well as Australia. So what are the extra taxes that you have as being a business owner? And then also, what are the taxes that you have as an individual? Figure out like what that really looks like. And that number that you come up with is going to be much bigger than you think it is. We actually have, we do this boot camp that we take therapists through everything to kind of grow, revamp, or start their private practice. And we give them this special, basically, piece of software where they answer all these questions and it takes them through the thing. And then it spits out like, this is the income that you need to make to fill this out. And they're always like, just like their eyes get wide. They get so shocked at what this number is. And it's like, well, this is a reality of like where you're at. So there's that. So now you have this big number, whatever that number is. Now you're going to divide that number by the number of weeks that you're going to be working per year. And it's not going to be 52. It's probably not even going to be 52.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was like, it ain't going to be 52.
No,
what's the number you usually recommend?
I recommend conservatively taking at least 5 weeks off. So, and how that breaks down is like 2 weeks for vacation, right? Mm-hmm. 1 week for sick time, one week for like educational things, for like going to a training, and then 1 week for buffer, meaning that like, you're going to get cancellations throughout the year and stuff, even if you have everything set up. So now I just have a little buffer for like a slow week, or like something happened, or maybe there's a pandemic. If you live in a place too, where like your snow days and like you don't like you live in like Montana, you, or even Florida, you might add on another week where like hurricanes are a normal thing. So you get to figure out what this is, but it's somewhere
between. Oh, sorry. I was maybe 45 to 47 weeks. Is that
probably somewhere in that, honestly?
Okay.
So you're going to divide that big number by the number of weeks. Okay. Now you know what, on a week that you're working, what the gross income goal is, right? Now you're going to take this, and now you're going to sit down and really do some inner work. And you're going to look at, how many clients could I really see on a weekly basis, where the very first client I see gets the same amount of energy, attention, and like passion about this work as the last client I see of the week, right? So Monday morning at 9 a.m. or whatever your time period is, and Friday at 5 or Thursday at 3 or whatever your schedule is, that this last person of the day isn't getting you phoning it in because you're just like, let me just get through this so I can be done. What is that number? And that number, again, while the gross income may be much larger than you think, this actual number might be smaller than you think, right? The number that you could do that you were probably doing in the nonprofit or your other job was probably burning you out, which is why you're in private practice to start with. And that was the number that was there, before you had all these other hats that you had to wear as a business owner. So you start to look at what that number is. And so again, this number, and this number may be dependent on, do you have a chronic illness? Do you have infants at home? Are they sleeping through the night? Do you have six kids? Are you single with no dogs and like you're living life? Like this number is going to look very different for different people. So I've worked with people that's number is like 5 or 8, and then other people that it's more like in the 22 to 24 range, right? I would say anything above 22 to 24, you're probably getting into at risk for burnout unless you have things very, very outsourced. And if you do have things outsourced, that probably means that you have higher expenses for your business. So there's going to be, whether you do it yourself or you outsource it, like there's still cost there, no matter how you figure it out. And then when you divide again, that big number by the number of sessions you can do per week, that is the average hourly rate that you need to be charging in order to have a great private practice that does wonderful work and can be focused on getting great clinical outcomes. That's what's needed.
Got it. And that makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. And I think there's this, there's this interesting topic around outsourcing where, and again, I just feel that I see this all the time in healthcare because in my opinion, like, going and getting a clinical training and education is extremely difficult. You're dealing with human beings, you're dealing with disease, all these things. And so a lot of healthcare professionals think that, hey, if I can do this, like, yeah, marketing's fine. I can do the marketing. I can set up a website. I can do my own billing. I can, so there's all these things, right? And I think that there are some things where, yeah, you can do it on your own, but I think there are other, like, is there a list of, hey, if you're a therapist, you should consider these two or three things where, yeah, it's an extra cost, but you're not only going to gain a lot from it, but it's going to take a lot off your plate so you can be more successful. Like what are some things you recommend outsourcing? I'm sure does it vary?
It sort of varies, but not exactly. So, and this is going to sound almost like a plug, but it's not. And I swear to you, it's not. Invest and outsource some training so that you have some really good templates, processes, what have you, in terms of your private practice. So like for us, that's boot camp, that people can go through our boot camp and it sets them up step by step. This is how to do everything in your private practice and how to do it right. And here's where you can do things like, here are the options that these are both viable, but like, here's an option that will make you crazy. Like, here's why we don't do wait lists, like that kind of stuff, like outsource that and like pay for that, invest in that. And then make sure that you have enough training in whatever you're outsourcing and enough basic understanding so that you know whether someone is doing a good job. So for example, we teach all of our clients that go through bootcamp how to build their own website because it's very simple at its core, which I know people will be like, that's not a simple thing. I swear to you, the way that we do it is very, very simple. And then they can later on, they can have someone come in and like redesign it or zhuzh it up, give it a glow up. That's all great. But what happens is if they immediately outsource their website, before they understand what they're really looking to do in their private practice, how that really works, who they really want to speak to, like what their clinical marketing language is, they often will get a beautiful website that is absolutely ineffective. It doesn't call to their ideal client. It doesn't show up on Google searches. And they don't know enough to understand, oh, I just paid someone $500 for something I could have done for free in about an hour, or something that somebody could have done for $20 over on Fiverr or some other kind of thing. So like to learn and have some community where you can like really tap into what do I really need? So yes, you're going to be outsourcing things, and this, probably phones is a huge one. Social media can be a huge one. But if you don't understand a bit about social media, then someone's going to charge you a lot of money and they're going to say, oh, I'm posting and doing all these things. And you're going to be like, but it's not working. And they're like, well, I'm doing my thing. You're like, wait, I just invested. We've had people come to us who are paying thousands of dollars a month for nothing. Yeah. And they didn't know it. They didn't know it. So there's, I think it's really important to, and it's, I know it sounds weird to say outsource your education, but like figure that out so that you know what really works for you. And like, oh, hey, that's something I can automate. Like, that's not a big deal at all. I've got it automated. And then even after it's automated, you get a virtual assistant who can like really keep things going, but you know how it works. You train that person. You know how to make sure that they're actually doing their job and you're not just paying for nothing.
No, absolutely. And look, I'll do the, I'll plug for you because I spend time. I mean, I don't just invite people on here for the mm-hmm. hell of it. You know, I really love what you guys do. You have a wealth of free content mm-hmm. On the site to begin with. But you know, here's the thing is that it's stupid to think that, I mean, look, you wouldn't go and, I don't want to compare the two, but it's kind of similar. Like, it's like you wouldn't go and try and learn a new type of therapy just by Googling it and spending a weekend learning it. Like, you go to a conference, you go to a course, you get certified, et cetera, because there's somebody else who spent like years collecting the best case scenarios, the what you're going to see, what you shouldn't do, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And so for you, for Zinimi, you guys spent the last 7 years dealing with, I'm assuming, hundreds if not thousands of therapists at this point, where you have a system and it works and you have different, you know, options to that. They're going to essentially be the best fit for the right person, because if not, if you're going into this as a, forget therapy, as a business owner, if you're going into this head first and you don't have any education, no training, no nothing, your fears and biases are going to come out and they're going to latch on to whatever you are freaked out about. Yeah. It could be the marketing side of it. It could be, let's say, billing. It could be, I don't, you know, mm-hmm. Who knows? And at that point, you're making fear-based decisions and you're being led astray because you're making the decisions off of nothing. And so I, in my opinion, like for any therapist who's listening to this, and I have plenty of friends who are in the therapy world mm-hmm. who I already told about Zinimi, I would recommend that because yeah, it's a cost to go to a boot camp. It's a cost to get that education, but it's a lot less cheaper to do it that way mm-hmm. than to make all the mistakes, mm-hmm. get more into debt, and potentially and set yourself up for failure from day one. And then a year later, you realize that, why didn't I just do this in the first place, right? It's, and I think that as things get worse, people spend more money in the wrong place. Like, oh, the marketing is not going well. I should spend more marketing with this person.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my billing isn't going really, really well. Like, you know,
there's so like, I, and there's,
yeah, so I'll happily plug you guys.
There's, you know there's these really great, you know, Facebook ads that are constantly like pounding into clients saying like, oh my gosh, you can do this thing and be full in 30 days. And, you know, just invest.
Yeah, I see them. They really market to me all the time.
Just invest $8,000 with us. And then also you're going to be investing in advertising dollars, which, hey, you're going to get a return on your investment. But then we get those people who that didn't work for, who are coming to us going, what did I do wrong? What's happening? And we help them walk through and they're like, oh, that was not going to work for me. And had I known
the foundational,
right? There was no foundation there that was going to make that really make sense for them. So I think it's just that place. So yes, we want to start with knowing that you want to have a virtual assistant, especially as you get full, someone that can answer your phone, someone that can help with the emails, someone that can like do these little tasks for you. But you also really need to create some investment in learning how to do private practice in a way that really works for you in particular, and getting those things. And that doesn't, even if you have been in practice for, we've had people that have been practiced for 30 years who come through our program. They're like, oh my gosh, this just made my life so much easier. I didn't realize I was doing it the hard way because this is just the way that I've always done it. I didn't realize all the options that were out there. And then they realize, oh, wow, I really like my private practice. I'm spending more time. I'm re-inspired clinically because I'm not being bogged down by things that don't work for me. So figure that out. Like, definitely leave some room for you to get resource for you to get training, check out the free trainings that are out there. We have lots of them. A lot of the things that people charge like $20, $50, $100 for, we just have them for free on our website. We have a whole training. If you're like listening to me talk about the how to set fees and doing the math and like you were like glazing over while you're running or in the car, we have a live webinar that you can take that's free that has a CE attached to it even. Right? Where you can like dig into like looking at that, pause it, do your little process and do your math down there. So like, and we again have trainings, free trainings on niching, marketing, all the different places, because we want this information to be accessible because we need more great therapists out in the world in private practice. It's important. People need us.
No, I absolutely agree with you on that. And, you know, just out of curiosity, so for those who are listening, they, you know, if they go to the ZinniMe website, is there a place that you recommend they start? You know, because I know you guys have a wealth of content there.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering where do they get started?
So there's actually a thing at the top. You can read down it, but it says get started, which sounds crazy.
There you go. That's easy.
Yeah, get started. And then you can scroll down and you let us know like where you're at. Like, hey, I'm launching from scratch. Hey, I need to grow. Hey, I'm already successful. Hey, I've got a group practice. And then you click on where you're at in that process. And then we literally give you the, like, here's where to start for you. So it's, we try to make it as simple as possible. We know that therapists are starting from different places and we've got you. We've actually been doing this for 11 years. It's just, I've just been doing this exclusively for 7. And before Kelly and I, because there's two of us, two therapists, and we have a whole team. Before we were a whole team, I'd been doing consulting for years before that. So I've been doing consulting and private practice work for over 15 years. So we got you. We've worked with people all over the world in just about every continent. We haven't got Antarctica yet, but, you know, fingers crossed, this will be the year for that. We do rural areas and small towns and super saturated markets. We do therapists that are super niched, therapists that are really generalists. So like, we've got you, we can help wherever you're at, you know, with our free training. So check it out and know, like, if you don't like our style, that's cool. There's other people out there. There are great resources out there for therapists today that weren't there 10 years ago when we started. So I love that.
Got it. Yeah. And again, you know, something from, you know, I'm just a big, really big fan of Tracy. So Tracy, you know, very successful mental health therapist. She's got, grew a clinic. They're building a building. They got 17 therapists. And she said it best. And she said, look, as therapists, we tell our clients all the time that you should really seek the help of experts and of others. And I think this is the same thing, right? Like, you just have to, you know, I think vulnerability goes a long way and you should, there's nothing wrong with not knowing. No. Right. And so in that case, go to people who have at least a track record of doing it for a long time, who can have the templates, all these things, because there's no point in recreating the wheel. And even if you can, like, it's not worth the time. Like, I think this is the big thing that any business owner needs to understand is like, yeah, running a business, it costs money. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to spend money, but you don't get your time back. Yeah. You just don't. You do not get your time back. It doesn't work that way.
No.
You know? And I think, you know, maybe that's one of those things that people should try and in their head try and calculate. It's like, hey, when they figure out their fee, how much time is it going to take for them to figure out all these different things? And I bet you that by the time they get through half of it, they realize that that cost has already like surpassed the cost of taking, let's say, a boot camp or a course.
You yeah. know?
So I think it's incredibly important. It's important they get to think about it like that.
It's really interesting too, because people are, our boot camp is like $2,000. People are like, that is so much money.
Well, that's not.
No, it's really cheap, but they'll end up going and they're like, well, I spent $100 on this, and then I spent $200 on this, and then $1,000 on this. And then they get to the end, they're like, none of this stuff makes any sense. It doesn't click together. I don't have any support to implement any of it. And I've worked so hard to try to save money. I've ended up spending 3 times as much. And my practice still isn't where I want it to be. And then they come to us. They're like, oh my gosh, if I'd had this from the beginning, like, and our program, we have it as a lifetime program. So people come in And every time we do updates, every time we do, we call them working sessions, where we're actually going in and helping people with their website. We're showing them exactly what to do. We're rewriting content for them. We're helping them figure out their SEO. Like, we are there in people's businesses, really digging in a deep way that you will not find in any other program. And that's why we get such exemplary results. If you go and look at our case studies, you will be blown away, because we get in there and do the work. It's, you're not out there on your own.
And you've been doing this for a while, to be fair.
Yeah, for a long time.
You've seen a lot. And look, you know, the way so I'm one thing in my household that my wife and I agree on is that we never put a limit to things around our health and also our education. Mm-hmm. And so, like, anytime I look at, you know, any educational course, anything that I want to invest in, and some of them are like $1,000, $2,000, I'm like, oh, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I think math can be your friend. And so if you just look at that $2,000, and here I have my calculator out because I'm not great at math, but $2,000, that's $166 a month, mm-hmm. right? If you divide that out by 4 weeks, that's $41 a week. Mm-hmm. So what can you carve out per week that will give you $41 and you invest towards that, yeah. you know? Because again, the thing that people should be really worried about is not, will I lose money? It's will I lose time? Because, you know, you can possibly lose a little bit of money, maybe some time. You waste time, you're going to waste time and money.
I think it's huge. I think, again, too, I just see it again and again. If therapists don't have this basic business education, they will absolutely lose profit. They will charge the wrong fee. They will invest in the wrong areas. They will take longer to grow and get the clients that they need. Like, it really has just such a huge impact. One of the things that happens is a lot of therapists are like struggling financially. I know we're like running over, but therapists will be struggling financially. They're not making profit from their business and they're already like working crazy hours. They're already working 50 hours a week. And then they hear this podcast and the podcast is like, oh my gosh, multiple streams of income. You can do an e-course. And so then they're like, oh, what I need is an e-course. No, you're working 55 hours a week and you're living paycheck to paycheck and you're in debt. You don't need a multiple stream of income. You need a business that's actually sustainable.
Yeah, you need a business. Like, exactly. Like, you don't need... Before you worry about multiple streams of income, you need a core income.
Yes, you need it.
You need an income before you think about multiple streams of income.
Yes, and this is, and so I will often ask this question to therapists. I'm like, hey, what if I could get you a second stream of income that was an extra $30,000 in your pocket and you didn't have to do any more marketing, you didn't have to do... you didn't have to like get on video, like it was going to be super simple and it was an all profit. They're like, yes. And I'm like, charge your fee. And they're like, what? I'm like, stop sliding your fee all around. I can usually find about $30,000 in income just by therapists charging the fee that they set and not sliding down for every random person. And then they feel like irritated when that person's going to Cabo. They're coming in with a coach bag. They brought a new car and they're like, wait, I'm like struggling and I can't take a day off without having a panic attack. Like, charge your fee, raise your fee $10. If you're seeing 20 clients a week, about 50 weeks a year, again, this is for simple math, every $10 on average for your fee translates to $10,000 in profit. So if your fee is supposed to be 150, but on average, what you're actually bringing is 100, you're losing $50,000 of income per year. That's your retirement. That's your ability to go to trainings, to pay for consultation, to outsource things, to not panic when your kid has to do an ambulance ride because they fell off the monkey bars, you know?
Yeah. And I think just simplifying it down and thinking about it like that, it makes it very clear as to what a path to success looks like.
Yeah.
Right. Because I think that the moment people try and piece together in their head or do it on their own, then it's like, you can make all these mistakes, nothing works, but it's just like, you know, it's only, I don't want to say it's common sense, but it's, if you simplify it down and you just ask a question, Okay, do I know how to run a private practice?
Yeah.
No. Okay. So step one is that I should go and pay for a course and learn how to do it.
Yeah.
It's pretty straightforward, right?
It is. It's a thing. Like it's a piece, right? Like, and this is your business. This isn't like your DIY project where you're gonna like do a feature wall in your room, in your bedroom. You know, like this is like exactly. This is your livelihood. This is your career. And again, we train therapists to invest a lot of money in certifications and clinical training. And in some cases, the therapists can't even market to bring people in who they can practice their clinical certifications on. It's just like the whole thing's a mess. But anywho, I'm so glad we got to talk about this today. Thank you so much for having me on the
And I guarantee you're going to be back on now. I do wrap up with a quick rapid fire questions. I got two or three of them. Do you have a few more minutes for us?
Yeah.
Or you got to hop?
Let's hear it.
Awesome. Great. Okay. So you get to take as long as you want to answer these, but obviously the sooner you answer one, the sooner I'll get to the next one.
Perfect.
So it's just two or three quick questions. So first question to you is, you know, continuing education is a big thing in healthcare, but whether it's for business or for pleasure, is there a book that you feel that you have gifted most often to others?
Ooh.
And if so, what?
So one of the books that I have given out a lot and recommended a lot is Hold Me Tight, which is a book about relationships and couplehood. It's probably that or Attached, which again is about relationships. I think that relationships, whether people are single or married, are one of the most common sources of stress, and they impact you personally, professionally, in business, all those places. So understanding how you cope with stress, how you relate to other people, what are the old patterns that are working and not working for you? Like, what are your hot spots? I think it's just life-changing for people.
Got it. Next question. Mentorship's always a big thing in healthcare. You know, we wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for the mentors we had in our lives. So for you, what was the most painful but memorable thing a mentor ever told you, and how did that change you?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
That is a good question. That is a let me think.
Yeah, take your time because it catches people off guard.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question.
I thought I was going to hit you with, like, what's your favorite TV show?
These are very odd rapid fire questions. Like, this is not my favorite
not exactly
kind of
rapid.
Ice cream. So, you know, one of the things that, and I wouldn't even say this is a mentor, but I thought this was really interesting. And it stuck with me. So this is someone that I really respected clinically and someone that I felt really connected to in my clinical work. And when I was starting in private practice, it's such a vulnerable time. And I remember this person being so supportive of me starting in private practice. But then when I wasn't able to take insurance, and when I wasn't willing to slide down for every single person they referred to me, they said, look, I won't refer to you. You let me know when you get on insurance panels and then I'll refer to you. And it was, and I had to do a lot of like, it triggered me to do a lot of like inner work and process through that process, like process through all the feelings and reactions to that of someone basically saying like, what you do is only worthy if you have this place. And so for me, it was really helpful to have that experience from someone that I trusted and somebody that I respected so that I could go through and like dig down deep and get clear on why I was doing what I was doing and that it was okay to do it in the way that I was doing it and to like really explore that. I know that's like an opposite-y kind of answer.
No, that was a great, no, that was great.
But I think that was really an important point for me. And the fact that I like leaned in, it really caused me to lean into that and like explore it early on, I think was helpful.
Got it. All right. Last question. And after you answer this, stay on, we'll chat for a few minutes. So last question is, I want you to imagine that next year Gentem, which, by the way, we're not doing this. Gentem comes to you and says, hey, Miranda, we're taking out a billboard in every single city across the U.S., mm-hmm. right? And every single therapist, as they go into work, they're going to see this billboard mm-hmm. for a full year. Mm-hmm. What message do you put on that billboard?
Therapists, you deserve the life that you want for your clients.
I love that. I can't think of a better way to wrap it up. So definitely going to be having you back on. I'm certain of that. And we'll leave links to your website and other things in the show notes. So Miranda Palmer, thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Omar M. Khatib. This is another episode of Journey to Private Practice, and we'll see you all next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Journey to Private Practice. If you like the show, hey, help other medical practice owners like yourself discover it. Please leave us a 5-star review, say a few nice things, and if anything, send this episode to somebody else, because I don't know about you, but for me, anytime anything good has happened in my life, it's been as a result of other people helping me. So forward this on, pay it forward, and we'll see you next time.